We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, our guy does a great job covering the Jets for the New York Post. And that, of course, is Brian Costello. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Oh, great.
You all right, Brian? You getting over
I'm
it?
I'm great.
That was a tough loss for me last night, Evan. And, you know, and I thought we had a great week of practice.
Then, you know what the problem was? You didn't execute. That was it.
Yeah, we didn't execute, Joe. And I thought Evan's team just made a few more plays than we did.
Well, you know, here's the difference. I'm Belichick and your balls.
Better go back to the drawing board. Hey, Todd. I'm calling you Todd.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, bro. Now,
and one last thing about this before we get to the real mess at hand. I want to give Brian credit. We actually finished with the top two scores of any two teams.
Did you?
So it was a classic week. It was a
Are you in the playoffs yet or no?
No, a couple of weeks away from it. But we're both battling for the playoffs.
Right, right.
And last night, he had Lamar Miller. He had Corey Davis. I had Demaryius Thomas. So you talk about a fight.
Yeah, that was a good one.
This was a brawl last night, and he came up just a smidgen short. Just a little bit.
Wow.
Let's move on to a happier topic.
Oh, yeah.
What's that, the Jets?
Happier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, joyous. By the way, you know what? How come you didn't mention this in your article, okay? You're all over the stupid third down. Let's give Brady another third down. What an idiot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with that said, how about the 15-yard penalty that they get on after they get the touchdown?
Kickoff.
And the guy kicks it into the air? Can you try an onside kick? Well, you're playing the Patriots. You have no shot. Does it matter if the Patriots wind up with the ball on a 40-yard line? Does it really matter? I mean,
No, it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
It didn't
occur to me in real time, Joe, to be honest with you. Watching the game, it didn't occur to me. But then watching it back, you know, I thought about it. I think the broadcasters mentioned it. But it did look to me like they were trying to do a short kick. He didn't boom it out of the back of the end zone.
No.
They caught it in the front of the end zone. So I think maybe Myers just didn't pick it up off of it. Like, I think they were going to try to do a short kick and try to pin them down deep rather than onside. And he just kicked it too far. Because he didn't boom it, you know, through the goalpost or anything. So, you know, I know they were deathly afraid of Cordarrelle Patterson returning kicks. And so maybe that factored in. But I'm curious to ask Boyer that when we talked to him on Thursday of what the thinking was.
Did the Jets even have, seriously, I don't even know if they have, did they have anything like a fake punt or a fake field goal? Did they even have that in their repertoire?
Well, there was another one. I mean, of course they practiced fake punts, but they had a fourth down, you know, right around the 50 at one point, fourth and six,
yes.
I think it was.
Right,
and
I was like,
fake the punt here. Try a fake punt,
right,
you know,
course.
Do something.
Of course.
And of course they didn't.
Of course not.
I mean, I don't understand at where they are with the record-wise and realizing, you know, that they're playing the Patriots especially. You know you're outmanned. Just trying some trick plays, whether it's a fake punt, whether you're talking about a kick, whether you're talking about, you know, a flea flicker or something on offense.
It
like
was,
that.
Brian, that play, and I think we're talking about the same one. It was fourth and three from the Patriots 42-yard line.
Right. Yes.
That's you want to go fake three, punt, yeah, that's better. Great. How about you just flat
just
out go for it?
Right.
Or go for it. Yeah. Yep. No, I agree with you. I didn't understand that one at all.
Oh, man.
And I don't know if it's that maybe Todd Bowles says I have to defend Jeremy Bates because how could I rip him? We're all going to lose our jobs together. But the play calling wasn't great. You've got a Patriot team that's susceptible to stopping the run, and you only run the ball
46
15
passes
times.
With Josh McCown.
Yeah. 46. I mean, if you watched Patriots-Titans from a couple weeks ago,
yes,
the Titans, and the Titans, I think, do have a better offensive line than the Jets. But regardless, they ran all over them, and that was how they jumped out to the lead. They were just gashing them in the run, and then the Jets just didn't do it. They just got away from it so quick, and they only have 12 called run plays. It's just crazy. And 50 pass plays with Josh McCown reminded me of 2011 against the Giants when Sanchez dropped out 68 times.
Yeah, that was a great moment. I'm glad you brought that game up.
It makes no sense. And I think, Todd is defending his guy, but I thought, don't tell
You should have told me you were bringing that. I would have brought the Preparation H with me.
I think, Todd, you don't have to say he called a good game, Todd. Just say you can give one of these, you know, no one had a good day, we lost answers, and be done with it. And then you're not throwing your guy under the bus, but you're not telling us he had a good day either.
Yeah, well, it's a harsh. All right, what's the story with Donald? Are we going to see Donald play? And do I have to see any more? I mean, it's a joke. At least give me Davis Webb. If the kids can't play, you can't give me any more McCown, Brian. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see tomorrow. He's out there. Bowles was, you know, wouldn't say whether he's going to practice tomorrow. So it's too early in the week to know if he has a chance. But, you know, he said he was pain-free last week, and he was out there. You know, he had a helmet on and pads, and he was kind of running around a little bit. He just didn't do any of the practice drills. So I would think there's a chance this week because of that. But, you know, we won't really know until further in the week. As far as Davis Webb, I don't think that's happening, guys.
Why?
You're not alone.
Why?
I hear that from fans. I don't think Davis Webb, they see any point in it.
What's the point of Josh McCown? I don't get that. What do you mean? With no point?
I think they think Josh McCown gives them a better chance to win the game.
What is winning doing for them? First of all, they're not winning. Okay, right. They're not winning any of these games.
Right.
But what the hell does winning do for them right now? Todd's not keeping his job. He's done.
I think there's a situation, and we've been through this before with Hackenberg or Petty when we had these discussions, is the players on the team know what Davis Webb is. They know what Josh McCown is. And if Josh McCown is a better quarterback,
but Brian,
you have to do it for the other players on the team.
Here's my counter to that. Now, you can say he was just being nice, and that's maybe the answer. But Jamal Adams said to CMB a couple weeks ago, they brought up Davis Webb. They said, hey, what do you think of Davis Webb? And he said he's a starter in this league. Now, was it lip service, or maybe the players do believe in him?
Here's my counter to that.
Go ahead.
The Giants had this guy. The Giants don't have a great quarterback situation, as you guys have discussed ad nauseum for 4 months. They let this guy go a week before the season. They didn't think he was any good. At that point, any of the 31 other teams could have claimed him. No one claimed him. So that's what the other 31 teams in the NFL thought.
Can I counter that with something? And I think Giant fans will appreciate this comment right now. I got news for you. It really looks like the Giants have no idea what the hell they're doing. Okay?
Okay.
It looks that way. You've got a head coach yesterday saying, what about Alex Tanny? I don't understand.
That is unbelievable.
They look like they're not the old Giants, okay? These are not the Giants I know.
31 other teams though had a chance to sign him and didn't claim him off.
That's okay.
The Jets,
I'll buy that.
Jets put him on the practice squad. He's on the practice squad for what, 9 weeks or whatever until he was at the. And the way the practice squad works is you're basically a free agent. Any team can sign anyone from off the practice squad. So no one really has a high opinion of Davis Webb in the NFL. I think he's a really nice guy. I don't like bashing him like that, but no one in the NFL has a high opinion of Davis Webb, so I'm not sure what you accomplish by rolling.
You know what? You know what it accomplishes? All right. Here's what it accomplishes. And I think I speak for not everybody, but for a good chunk of people. And I thought this a few weeks ago, and I'm certainly feeling it now. I don't need to see a 39-year-old quarterback playing football for a team that's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay?
It makes no
sense.
I get it.
I don't see it anymore.
It makes no sense at all.
The unknown is always more appealing to fans than
yes.
the known when the known isn't good.
Correct.
Josh McCown is not good. Right?
Correct.
So I get that.
Thank you.
It's the same thing that we had with Petty and Fitz a few years ago. People were tired of seeing Fitz, and then they got Petty, and then they kind of saw Petty play and said, oh, maybe this is why he hasn't been playing all year. But, you know, I just don't see it. I don't see them putting Davis Webb out there. But I do think Sam is a lot closer. It felt like last week he was pretty close. So maybe this week he gets back in there.
Well, where are we with Maccagnan right now, Brian? I mean, is Maccagnan definitely coming back in your mind or not at this point?
Yeah, I think he is, Joe, but it's getting harder to defend that position. I think the more the losses pile up, the more everything just looks terrible and the roster looks terrible.
Right,
and you start
right.
going through all of his decisions. And, to me, I thought, you know, they pitched a 3-year plan at the beginning of 2017, right? It was tear everything down in 17, find a quarterback in 18, and then really go for it in 19. And I think ownership still wants to give him that opportunity to complete that plan. But now it's going to be complicated with they're going to make a coaching change and now you're going to have a new coach. Are you going to change GMs on that coach after a year or two if Maccagnan, you know, doesn't turn this around? It's a messy situation. It's not an easy one. There's no easy answer to me, but I still do think he's coming back.
So, and if he does come back, he's got to make the call on the coach, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would think so. And that's, you know, that's another sticky one is my colleague Mark Canizero wrote about today. You know, they've had this system where Bowles and Maccagnan are equal.
Right, right.
You know, do you go now to where the coach reports to the GM and Maccagnan gets to hire his guy, which I think he should. These arranged marriages to me are tough. But now are you committing to McCagnan for a few more years? Are you just going to give him a year with this coach? Or are you going to give him a couple more years? It's a very difficult decision to make.
Yeah. I'm moving more towards blow the whole thing up. A few weeks ago, yeah. I was more bring McKagan back. Some of his drafts haven't been awful.
Either way, it doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't. You know what the problem is? I think it's kind of what you guys laid out. It's the awkwardness of it. Because
if
you let McKagan pick the coach, which makes sense, you're essentially giving the guy a promotion. Why does he deserve a promotion?
And possibly a contract extension.
Well, you can't have Johnson. You can't have Woody and Christopher Johnson, you know, going to another consulting firm so they could bring their buddies in who stink. You know?
Yeah, you know, and I think, too, it's been, you know, the GM-coach thing with the Jets has been weird for a while. It's not quite as strained between McKagan and Bowles as it was Idzik and Rex, obviously, but they didn't really know each other before this. I think it's better to have two guys working together that, you know, have a bond, whether that bond is, hey, you hired me. You know, Rex and Tannenbaum worked very well together for a while.
Well, that was one of the biggest mistakes they made. That to me, the biggest mistake Woody Johnson has made since he's on this team has been that he let Tannenbaum go. He should have left him alone. I know it wasn't great at that point, but Tannenbaum made a lot of pretty good moves on his team, on his franchise. They should have left him and Rex alone, and maybe they would have straightened it out by this point.
Well, I think he either left them alone, Joe, or you put both of them on the street together.
Okay.
I think that was a mistake of separating them.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And so, yeah. But now, you know, I think, you know, Mike's been around the NFL for a long time. He knows some people. Let him go find his coach that he wants to work with, and they can be on the same page for a while.
Can you imagine Manisha's reaction if Doug Marrone gets the job?
No, not now.
Now you don't want him?
No, not now.
You wanted him last year.
No, that's not now. No, I don't want Marrone. No, because it's
different. The
whole dynamic, though, is different now. They need to bring a guy in here that's going to – I tell you, honestly, Brian, what I want – now, look, if Mike McCarthy's available, do I want him? Yeah. If John Harbaugh's available, do I want him? Yeah. But if that's not going to be the case, you got to go the route the Rams went, the route the Bears have going. That's what you take a shot with a young offensive minded guy, and see what happens with Donald. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think that's the way they'll go, unless some former head coach, like you mentioned, shakes free and they explore that and really like that person. But that's the way the league is going. You know, it's all offense right now, and you know they're watching the Chiefs and the Rams and the Saints like everybody else. And saying, hey, you know, it looks like the Jets are playing a different sport than those teams right now.
God.
So they've got to get a mind in here that's going to do that and cultivate, you know, what they have in Sam Darnold. So I think that will probably be the way this thing goes.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Painful. It really is. It's unbelievable.
It makes me think of the end of the Rex era, because Rex had the two good years, and then they had a few 8-8s. They had a 6-10.
And
then when they flamed out at
4-12,
that was more John Idzik coming in and wrecking the roster.
Destroyed him.
And you look at what we've seen since then, it's so awful. It's so bad. Seasons are over in November, early November.
It's unbelievable. This guy is the worst coach we've had, and I've seen them all. He's the worst coach since Kotite. I would say only maybe Lou Holtz, because Lou Holtz was brutal. Didn't even last the first year. He wanted no
part.
That was a joke. But I don't even count Lou Holtz.
No, but since Kotite, I don't even think
it
can be argued.
Since Kotite, it's not even debatable.
There's no one you can even match.
No.
And I looked at it of coaches who have coached at least 30 games with the Jets, so that eliminates Holtz. Only Kotite has a worse winning percentage.
Yeah.
I think Todd is at 39% right now.
He knows he's gone, right?
Oh, he knows, yeah.
He does.
Yeah, he knows. You know, how could you not? At this point, I think the Buffalo game kind of sealed everything for everyone. You know, there's no coming back from that.
We've gone over. I know Joe has said, hey, get rid of him tomorrow. But in a way, do you think it would benefit Todd Bowles to just get rid of him now? Like, would it help him to get rid of him now?
I mean, it might take some relief for him, I guess, you know, and I'm sure he's not happy dealing with all this every day. But you know, I still don't know what you accomplish by doing that for the team, really. And like we talked about, if they zero in on the college coach at some point, then I can see moving quickly, because you want to get a jump on the other teams before the end of the season. But other than that, I don't really see.
Well, here's my counter to that. And I understand that the firing of Hugh Jackson was different because it also coincided with the firing of Todd Haley, and there were more issues besides the record. But you had, I forget the guy's name, but one of the Browns offensive linemen coming out the other day saying, you know, Greg Williams has brought discipline to this football team. We needed that. Mm. So when you ask, what does it accomplish? Look, I don't think the Browns are running the table and making the playoffs, but I think it's accomplished something in Cleveland, no?
Yeah, but Cleveland was a mess. I mean,
what did the Jets want today? The Jets are
their worst dysfunction. I don't see dysfunction with this team. I don't see like the offensive coordinator power struggle. Yeah, they just stink. Yeah, they're just a bad football team. Yeah. But
and
a horribly
coached team all the way across the board. I mean, let's be honest. Horrible.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. You know, the best thing has been special teams this year. Amazingly, you know.
Yeah, Roberts has been, and the kicker. Myers. And the kicker's probably the MVP of the team, right? The kicker's probably the MVP.
They've been very good. I think Jamal Adams has had a good season.
He's been good.
Yep.
Outside of the kicker and maybe Andre Roberts, here's the guys, and if you agree with me.
Go ahead.
There's three guys on defense that I would keep. Jamal Adams, Williamson, and they're by far their best defensive lineman, Henry Anderson. Those three guys. Leonard Williams, what a joke he is. This guy, he is one of the most overrated players I've ever seen. Those are the three guys on defense. On offense, I would obviously the quarterback, Quincy Anunua, and Chris Herndon. Am I missing anybody? Is there anybody else?
Not on offense, you're not. On defense, I think I would argue Leonard with you.
Oh,
I know
God.
He's not. I know he's not Warren Sapp, Joe. He's a good football player.
How is he so damn good?
If you talk to coaches around the league that play the Jets, the offensive coordinators look at two players on that defense: Leonard Williams and Jamal Adams, and they say we block them, we're fine. But I still think Leonard's a good player. I know. He has not
maybe if you had a real head coach in here, maybe he would be. Say that. Maybe if you had a real head coach in here, maybe he would be.
You know what I'd like to see too, Joe? An edge rusher.
Well,
with Leonard, like so, he's not double teamed all the time. Like I would love to just see if that made a difference. And I'm not saying it definitely would, but the guy gets double teamed a lot. He's the focus of a lot of offenses. I'd just like to see them for once have a guy off the edge that teams had to pay attention to.
Well, they may have the number one pick in the draft, so they'll have a real good shot at it.
Yep.
Not that far off. All right, Brian. Yep. Always good talking.
Anything else, Brian? Everything else all right there?
I'm just reeling from the fantasy football loss.
I feel so bad for you.
Sorry.
Who's your quarterback, by the way, Brian?
Roethlisberger, who threw a great interception there.
He also, he threw two of them, but he also threw for like 500 yards.
He did.
But that interception's
then,
a difference when you lose by a half a point.
They actually take away for an interception?
Oh, yeah. Actually, he lost, this is the final score, 189 to 188.72. So he lost by basically 2/10 of a point. That's almost impossible to do.
By the way, speaking of impossible, how did the Jets beat the Broncos and the Colts? How are they doing since the Jets beat them?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, if they played now, that'd be how big an underdog would be.
Oh, my God, against either team. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Especially the Broncos game was kind of freakish with the way they just had those big plays.
Right, the running game.
The Colts game, you know, it's amazing that they were able to do that.
One other thing, too. Five games, no turnovers. Five freaking games without a turnover.
And I'll give a nod to my friend Rich Cimini over there at ESPN. He had this stat that is tied for the league
in the history of the league, right?
Yeah, it's the worst in Jets history already, but it's tied for NFL history. Worst stretch.
So they're one turnover this game away against Tennessee from setting the all-time record for most games without forcing a turnover.
Yep.
Wow.
And think about they played Brock Osweiler. They played Brock Osweiler and Matt Barkley during that stretch.
My God. That's right.
You know?
Matt Barkley.
This isn't a few years ago when they played, you know, Brady and Peyton Manning and not all those guys in a row.
Amazing is you talk about beating Indianapolis. They forced four turnovers in that game.
The touchdown right away, second play of the game. Mo Claiborne with a pick six.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, I mean, and like turnovers, you know, they happen accidentally sometimes. You know, tip pass, there's something. A guy fumbles a snap and they recover. It's just been nothing. It's amazing.
It really
amazing
is.
Stretch.
It's incredible. All right, Brian, good talking to you as always.
Brian,
all right, guys.
Always a pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.